Montreal, we're back. Beryl Wiseman, President of the Institute for Public Affairs of Montreal. Usually this is the last angry man. There's no last angry man tonight. We're continuing 940's coverage of the tragic shooting at Dawson College. We want to hear from any of you who have anything to say, particularly empathetic to the parents out there. But I got to tell you, the kids who've been calling in are gutsy and eloquent, and as a great man once said, there are 1,000 centers of energy and daring. And they really went through this like champs, and we're going now to Jennifer. How are you, Jennifer?
Hi, how you doing?
Good, you?
First of all, I just want to thank you for doing such an excellent job of coverage today. I've listened to you since about 1:30 this afternoon. It's just very, very impressive.
Well, it's a great team here at 940 from Chris Burry and Sabrina Marindola and Luciana Papilla and Lauren Schwartz and everybody who's been covering things all day, Jim Duff. It's been a hell of a team effort.
I'm calling, though, because I'm a little appalled. Not at you, but at some of the callers that have called this evening, specifically your guest, Ray, who called from the Star.
Former editor of the Montreal Star.
That's correct.
Right.
That's correct. I am and have been a member of the goth subculture for over 10 years now.
Right.
And I just cannot believe that once again, in the face of such a disaster, that people are finding a reason to point fingers at something, anything, any reason at all to try and find reason as to why it took place. 6 or 7 years ago, I was a Dawson student, and I found myself in an English class one day defending the entire goth subculture after the Columbine incident. I had one of my friends who ended up getting jumped outside of a car on St. Catherine Street because he was wearing a long trench coat. Violence begets more violence.
Mm-hmm.
Sitting there and pointing a finger going, oh, well, supposedly he's a goth, and no. This is just going to end up causing more problems. If this shooter had come in and he had been part of the Lebanese population, oh, it would have been a terrorist act. If he had been African-American, what, would it have been a gang-related then?
Right.
Why not just point out the fact that this was a sick individual who obviously had some issues one way or another, regardless of whether he had a mohawk or if he was white or if he was black?
I tend to agree, and I had some words actually with Ray before the show about, you know, my concern about the overanalysis, the sociological, the psychological overanalysis of looking for root causes. There sometimes just are no root causes. There's just a sicko that can come out of anywhere, and it happens.
But you understand that
Yeah. Being
the media, it influences those who are ignorant,
who are not
in the know.
Absolutely. That's the part, Jennifer, if you heard a previous caller who said that he thought that I was upset that there was too much attention being paid to the story and not enough to bigger stories of the war or whatever, and I said, no. What I'm concerned about is not the straight news, not talking to people like you who have something to say who are affected by this, but the talking heads, the guys who are going to make a professional living off of this for years, analyzing, psychoanalyzing, the politicians that are going to do études de réflexion. You know, sometimes a society has to be mature enough and strong enough, as the young people have proven today, you've called, the almost 10 young people, that you've got to, they seem to understand better than the old folks, if you like, that, hey, you know, bad things happen to good people. It's no point labeling. It's no point pigeonholing. And let's get on with our lives.
But don't they understand that when they do place a label like that, that this is only going to create
Sure. More
violence?
It
that
could.
It's going to continue exactly what we're trying to fight against?
It could. I think there's a concern, and I'm certainly no expert on goth culture or subculture, but I think we not only heard it from Ray Hurd, but we heard it from some of the young people who are calling in. There was one in particular who said, we, meaning he and his crowd of, quote, you know, regular-looking students, we tend to ostracize them. On the other hand, we heard from a colleague of his, another student, who said, well, there might be something there may be a stream of violence in a subculture. Not that there's anything you can do about that. There could be a stream of violence
That's it. And you know what? Some of the most violent fights I've ever seen while going clubbing downtown have been on Crescent Street.
Yeah.
Or have been coming out of Peel Pub.
Jen, they're about to get violent.
Jennifer,
they're about to get violent with me if I don't take a break and pay a bill. Can you hold on for after the short break?
Sure.
Great. We'll be right back. Beryl Wiseman back with you, continuing 940's coverage of the aftermath of the Dawson shooting, and we're talking with Jennifer. Thanks for waiting with us through the break, Jen.
How you doing?
Okay.
In conclusion, what it comes down to is when you're putting a label on this, because it's the first thing that I heard was, okay, it's the video games, it's the violence on TV, it's this, it's that, it's the other thing. Did anybody hear Alexandra's recount of what this guy did, how he maliciously just turned around coldly and shot the person? If anything, that's a sociopath.
Right.
Why are we naming it as a goth? All that's going to end up doing is causing a whole bunch of problems for other people. If we did say that this person had been of a Lebanese descent, there would have been a riot tomorrow against the Lebanese population.
Right.
This is what happened with 9/11. This is what happened with Columbine. Instead of looking to see at what the actual events took place, I mean, there are families right now that have been in the hospital.
Well, I wouldn't put it at the same level as things like 9/11 that are societal events where we knew who the enemy was, but I take your point. Labeling is dangerous, particularly when it concerns individual situations like this.
But with 9/11, my reference to that was when 9/11 occurred, there was Muslims in the Montreal area who ended up dealing with violence because of it, who were not necessarily involved, nor violent individuals. But they ended up being violated against because of what had happened. So does that mean that every single Muslim or because of one person, that everybody else, the whole goose and the gander? It's ridiculous. You can't just single out one group of individual like that because of the actions of one person.
That's true enough. That's true enough. But, the strange thing about 9/11 was sometimes there were actual multiple acts of violence that were committed by radical Muslims who were encouraged by 9/11. Nobody's going to be encouraged by this act because this wasn't an act that was planned for a political statement. It was an act of a very sick individual.
That's right. But even at this point,
you don't
even know if it was a political statement
or not. No, you don't. You don't at all.
So then why is it that all of a sudden we have people that are on the air, on CBS, on whatever media station, saying, oh, well, it's automatically named as a goth?
I think probably because of the initial descriptions that came out by witnesses. But we'll know more when the provincial investigation concludes and we actually have a physical description. I know I tried to get a physical description of this young man and the various police officials, and everybody was tight-lipped as hell.
Well, I can tell you one thing. When this had happened with Columbine,
right,
we had media stations coming to visit the golf clubs in Montreal. They wanted to come in. They wanted to interview us. They wanted to watch us. It's not a circus freak. There are kids who like to dress the way they do, who are probably more preoccupied with the way they look than they could ever be with any kind of violent action. They are not violent individuals.
Jen, you've made your point very well, and our lines are really lit up, so I got to let you go and go on to the next caller.
Thanks a lot.
I thank you very much for calling. Take care. And we're going to Eve now. Good evening.
Hi, how you doing?
Good.
I just wanted to talk about the lady. I think the lady's on the right track saying that you can't pinpoint. And even if you did pinpoint, even if you said it wasn't the gossip,
right,
who cares? After that, you have to move on. You have to decide what's going to make things better. What's going to make things change?
Well, do you really even have to go that far? Can we just not say, look, it doesn't matter who it was. This was a sick individual, and it happened, but this is not exactly like we have a shooting a week, and it's not a societal tendency. It happened.
Well, no, but that's still speculation. We don't know if it was a sick individual. It could have been. If it was a sick individual who was predisposed to be this way, then there was nothing we could have done about it. But the thing is it could have been someone who was actually tormented or made to be this way by his upbringing, by his friends, by anyone around him.
Yeah, but, I'm not...
I don't know that for sure.
But I'm not a big believer in root causes. Whatever it was, his torments were, it's pretty sick to take a gun and start shooting 20 people.
I know, but the point of the matter is that there's a lot of sad people out there. There's a lot of disturbed people out there. A lot of people either frustrated with all aspects of life, and what we're doing is we're making it worse because now in modern society we have too many things to take us away from the people beside us. The one important thing that I'm going to say, and I'm not going to talk too much longer, but as individuals we have to remember that the people beside us, the people we deal with every day, are the most important things in our lives.
Right.
No matter how clear our HD television is, no matter how many video games we have, no matter how many diversions we have, we have to take care of the people around us and make sure that we see if there's distress. Make sure we can do anything, whether it's a little hug, a little tap on the shoulder, anything we can do to make someone's life a bit better and a bit more comfortable. We have to wake up and do that.
Eve, how old are you?
Me? I'm 39 years old.
Well, Eve, it's an important sentiment you're getting across because we tend to forget that you know, a lot of my generation, I'm about 10 years older than you are, came to political maturity at a time when we were taught lessons that each man's suffering diminishes me. And no matter how good our lives get materially or how easy our communications gets, we can't allow ourselves to be so alienated from our neighbors as not to care. Because in the final analysis, we're going to need somebody at some point in our lives, just as people who are troubled need somebody now. And you're making a very important point. And the more I listen to the callers tonight, the more I realize that, you know, they can teach the psychologists and the sociologists a thing or two about root causes and trauma, because they've got the guts and the eloquence like you to understand what's really important in this life. And I thank you very much for your call.
Have a good night.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Daniel, welcome. Daniel?
Beryl?
Yep.
Hi. Okay, completely disagree with the last two callers. Yes, it could be an individual who had unforeseen circumstances just go berserk. However, I have seen with this goth culture and this punk culture, it's I think the music, if you look at the videos, these guys jumping up and down with spikes and chains and all.
Daniel, I got to ask you to hold. We're going to a live news conference. Courtesy of CTV Newsnet, and it's the mayor of Montreal and Montreal's police chief, so I'd ask you to hold on and bear with us as we go to this. Montreal, Beryl Wiseman here, president of the Institute for Public Affairs. Normally, it's the last angry man tonight. I'm starting hour four of 940's continuing coverage, hour four of my shift, of 940's continuing coverage of this extraordinary day in Montreal, the Dawson College shooting and its aftermath. It's been an extraordinary effort by the 940 team, from program director Chris Burry, the news staff, Sean McMahon, Sabrina Marindola, Shanna Papilla, Lauren Schwartz, Jim Duff from 4 to 7, Nick Mays and Chris Burry in Master Control, Chris Bumbry, sorry, in Master Control, Margot Edwards, Melissa Wheeler producing. This has been a team effort here that has gone across the country, and it's the station should be proud of itself. But, of course, our first thoughts, our empathy and our hearts go out to those parents and relatives of those who are injured today and, in one case, killed. We can only offer the wisdom of the ages. Great Greek tragic poet Aeschylus wrote, "All that we can do in certain times is wait for the pain that falls drop by drop upon the heart until through the awful grace of God we attain wisdom." But at the same time, I can tell you, now going into 4 hours, there's tremendous confidence to be gained from the extraordinary young people. There are going to be a lot of talking heads in the next few days, psychologists, sociologists, politicians, talking about reflection, what needs to be done. Well, you know, the young people who have called in today have shown eloquence and guts and purpose, and they've got their heads screwed on right, and they know how to get on with their lives and how to get on with the life, the task of building this society. And the most important thing is to hear them. And let's get right back to them. And, Eric, we thank you for being so patient through the press conference. Welcome.
Not a problem. I don't know. I've been listening to the reports since about 1:30 this afternoon. And certain things are just shocking. Others are ridiculous. The only thing we can say is, right now, it happened. People are in pain. People are mourning. People are going, what the hell happened? But simply put, we have no clue. A guy walked in, started shooting up the place. What can we do now? And for the parents that are mourning their loss, for all those that are hurt, all those that helped, the only thing that we're going to do is get stronger with it. I'm fresh out of university, a couple of years now. I've been through the system. I remember Polytechnic. I remember the fear back then. I was in secondary going, well, do I really want to go to university? Do I want to continue?
You were really scared? You didn't look at it as an isolated event?
Not back then. If it can happen to a bunch of students, it can happen to me. I could be walking through the metro and some guy pulled a gun on me out of the blue for no reason.
But Eric, by the same token, you've been on airplanes. You know airplanes crash.
Of course.
Statistically, you're safer in an airplane than in a car.
Typically, but anything can happen at any time. I could get struck by lightning, as weird as that may sound. The thing is, we got to remember, and most of the young people today, those younger than me, those of my generation, we realize one thing. No matter what happens, tomorrow's a new day. We're either there or we're not. we live the best we can. We keep going forward. We get hurt. We get up. We keep striving for it.
Carpe diem, seize the day.
Exactly. And no matter what every shrink or every head doctor says, oh, well, this one watched too many video games, and this one did that, and this click has this, it comes down to one simple fact. You either live or you don't. And if you're going to get down on your knees and cry and say, you know what, forget it, it's not even worth living because we might just get killed tomorrow. Look, people, simply put, this could be an isolated incident. There could be a motive behind it that we'll never understand. We just got to keep going forward. Get stronger with it. Keep going forward and keep being there for each other. Concordia kicked in. McGill kicked in. Everyone heard about the...
And Eric, what you just said, I want to underline again because you've heard it over and over again from your colleagues and from other people of your generation, and it's an extraordinarily wonderful thing to hear that it's not about the computers and it's not about the accounting and engineering degrees. We've heard it over again. It's about reaching out to your friends, to your neighbors, and it's about understanding that we're all going through this life together.
No matter what, we are going through this life together. You meet someone on the street, you know them, you don't know them, who cares? They're people. And no matter what, you could be behind a computer, you could be at your desk. Look at 9/11.
And sometimes all these armchair psychiatrists, as you said, and the sociologists and the psychologists and the politicians, they're more interested in sort of dividing and conquering and pigeonholing because it's easier to control. And your message and the message of so many young people who've called tonight is, hey, we're all in it together. We're all in this life together. And it's a magnificent thing to hear. And it's an inspiring thing to hear that young people, through all what we've heard about the superficiality of this generation, really still understand that.
Amazing as it is, a lot of us were brought up with the mentality from our parents, from our grandparents. Yeah, they didn't have computers. They didn't have TV. They knew their neighbors. A lot of people think we've lost that touch. I personally don't. I live in NDG. I'm getting to know my neighbors. I just moved into the area.
Right.
I knew a lot of the people at Concordia. I knew the communities at Vandy. I knew the community at my high school. And, okay, some of them are punk, some of them are Italian, some of them are this, some of them are that. Who cares? I don't. I got friends who are black, Hispanic, every race, every color, every nationality.
In the final analysis, we are all human, we all value our futures, and we are all mortal. And
exactly.
That's what we have to remember every day of our lives.
Well, it would be nice if the politicians would realize it.
You got it.
I shouldn't be kicking them down because, yes, they do have some valid points. But in the long run, no matter how many laws come out, no matter how many things come out, it comes out to one thing. If someone wants to do something, they'll find a way of doing it.
Eric, you got it.
Once the action is done, how we react to it proves to others who we are as a group.
You are dead on. You are the constant. Eric, I thank you very, very much.
It was my pleasure. Thank you for having me on.
Thank you. And Brian's up next. Brian, thank you for being patient. Brian? Have we got Brian on the line?
Hi, bro. Yeah, I'm on the line.
Brian, can you just hang on 1 second? We just got to take this break.
Okay.
Thanks. Montreal, we're back. Beryl Wiseman here, President of the Institute for Public Affairs, and we're continuing 940 coverage of the Dawson College shooting and its impact on the city. We want to hear from you. We want to hear from parents and teachers. We want to hear from the students who were there. It's just been a tremendous evening of the courage of the young people who've called in. And, Brian, thanks again for your patience.
Hi, Beryl. I was thinking, on the spiritual side, I was thinking, you know, these young people, if they had wings, they could be angels. But, in fact, in this case, they weren't given wings. They were not birds, but they were merely people that the gravity of the situation brought them down to this world of turmoil and trouble. And in some ways, they accepted it. They accepted it, you know, not grudgingly, but they accepted it. They did their education. They did their studies. And who would say what would happen if this hadn't happened to them, that they wouldn't be affected by this? I think their spirit is somewhat. I think their spirit is still there. And I think that as Montrealer, I attended Dawson too. So mm-hmm. I feel for the professors. I feel for the people. That there is nobody who could be completely wrong in saying that they weren't doing exactly what children would do under the circumstance, you know.
Well, which children are you talking about?
Pardon?
Which children are you talking about?
I'm talking about the kids that attended Dawson. I'm talking
right.
about. I'm talking about their
well,
smart.
You know, we've heard from so many of the kids tonight, and you know, two that stand out, Danielle and Adam, and these kids have you know courage and eloquence, and they really. They've really got their heads together over this.
They're very angelic to look at them. They smile and they're very.
Well, never mind the angelic. They're tough. They understand that life is not a dress rehearsal, and they've got their heads around this. They're not looking for any life preservers.
No, they're not. They're not looking for any life preservers. And I think somebody said it to me tonight. They said, you know, it would be exploiting the name of some people or some person. I said no. They find ways of expressing themselves quietly. They meet in places like, you know, where they meet one on one and they discuss this just like adults would. And I think that's the key, is to look at the younger people like adults, only, you know, different versions of adults. And I think they're looking at this very introspectively, and they say, well, if, you know, God has made us into some lesser persons or whatever, I think we should treat them as very wise children, very wise adults, you know.
Good words, Brian. Thank you very much for calling.
You're welcome.
Mohammed, good evening.
Hi, Bill. How are you?
All right. Yourself?
Well, not good, you know. I attended Dawson College throughout my college years, and it's just an absolute shock. I mean, just thinking all those days I walked through the atrium
right.
and the CAF and there.
How many years ago was that?
That I graduated 2 years ago.
Right.
So it's not that long ago. And just thinking about walking through all those, you know, the corridors and how big Austin is, and just the gravity of what those kids went through today, and it's just unbelievable. And I mean, I just don't know what.
But they seem pretty tough. They seem pretty resilient. And, you know, the one beautiful thing that's coming out of all these dozens of phone calls, at least during my past 4 hours almost, they're understanding that, you know, white, black, yellow, whatever religions, we're all human. And they've got
exactly.
to take each other's hands. And that's as important as their engineering or their accounting degrees or their finance degrees or their computers. It's about humanity. It's not about alienation, and that's, you know, maybe out of tragedy and trauma, this is the triumph of it.
I know, and I heard one of the students on the phone on CBC today saying that she doesn't know how long it'll take her to go back, but I actually, you know, as you said, I want to tell all the students, whether the ones who are dealing with, most of them, they're dealing with it very good, you know, don't say that, guys, you know, go back. Dawson is the coolest place. We always live together, as you say. All the people from, I don't know how many countries are in that college.
Right.
We're from all over the place, you know, and we always lived in such harmony. It was the coolest college in Montreal, and things are, I'm sure, you know, they should just go back, be as confident as before, and things will go back to normal. I mean, it's going to take some time, but it'll go back to normal.
Keep your eyes on the prize. Mohammed, thank you very much. Montreal, we'll be right back after this with Ted. Montreal, we're back. It's Beryl Wiseman here, President of the Institute of Public Affairs of Montreal. Normally I'm with you till 8 o'clock on The Last Angry Man. Tonight I'm continuing the coverage that 940 has been doing all day of tragic shooting at Dawson College. And I must say what started at the beginning of the evening is a pretty sad affair, and we empathize with the parents, of course, and everybody who had kids who were injured, and in one case who died. The extraordinary resilience and eloquence and guts of the young people who have been calling has been an inspiration. And we shall continue. We often say we can do better, and the better is out there. And we want to hear from you. If you go to Dawson, if you're a teacher, if you're a parent, if you're just somebody who wants to get something off their chest about this. Right now we go to Ted. Ted, thanks for waiting.
How you doing? You know, this is a night that will unfortunately live in infamy in all the hearts of Montrealers. I want to say I know two girls that go to that school, Natalie and Amanda. I want to say hi to both of them tonight, and I'm very glad that they're both safe.
Natalie and who else, sorry?
Amanda.
Amanda.
Yeah, they both go to Dawson. It is a great school, and it will continue to be a great school. The tragedy has struck today, and I drive a taxi downtown. I want to send my condolences to the family that lost a child today from me and all the people at Atlas Taxi, and from everybody in Montreal and from Canada, from the world, okay? Because it was a tragedy to lose that child.
And yes, it was.
It tears my heart out to think about it, what those parents must be going through right now. And I also want to say that, I'm very proud also to live in a city where the police and the ambulance and people and the hospitals and the doctors and the nurses and everybody pulled, and the teachers and everybody who was involved today pulled together, and we showed what Canadians are made of, and Quebecers, Montrealers, we're all together in this, trying to help these kids that were struck down, and
that they did.
To help them the best we could, and I think we did a great job, and I want to take my hat off.
Absolutely, and Ted, you're bringing up a very important theme that's run through this whole evening, the past 4 hours. Young people that we often think just go to school to get a degree, and they're only concerned with their diversion and entertainment, and, these young people have been calling tonight, and they're getting it. They're saying it's all about being human. It's all about helping each other, because in the end, all of us are going to need help. It's a remarkable testament to their intelligence and to their emotional makeup. And sometimes people tend to give up on young people. But, boy, I tell you, tonight's been an eye-opener.
I want to also tell you that, hello?
Yep.
Yeah, I want to also say that, I went through what happened at the Polytechnique in 89 as well. I was still driving a taxi. And I also went through when Fabricant went into Concordia.
Right.
There's a lot of crazy people out there, and for whatever the reason is, they're going to do what they must do, but we must carry on, and we must, in a positive way, know that we live in a great country, and, something very bad happened tonight, and a lot of us are going to be in shock about this for a long, long time, but, when we do get over it, we must carry on, and, Dawson, like I said, I really hope it doesn't hurt its reputation. It is a great school. And I'm sure because of the people that work there and the students that go there, it will continue to be a great school and a great family. And, let's just try and, carry our heads high tomorrow and just, make the best of a very tragic and bad situation. And you know what? I wish the best of luck to all the students that were injured. I hope they can one day walk back into that school and continue learning the way they were.
Well,
today.
Ted, from what we've heard tonight, they will, and we'll keep on keeping on. And, Ted, you sound like it's raining outside, and we hope you have a safe shift.
Thank you, my friend.
Take care, Ted. Montreal will be right back after this with Jeff and Ross and a whole bunch of other callers. Montreal, Beryl Wiseman here with continuing 940 coverage of the tragic shooting at Dawson College and its aftermath on the city. We want to hear from you. We want to hear your feelings, your pain, your courage, what you saw, what you heard. And it's been a really remarkable evening when we heard the young people and their intelligence and eloquence and guts. Let's go to Ross. Thank you for your patience.
Yes. How are you tonight?
It's a sad night, but it's, when you hear the young people, it's an inspiring night, too.
Okay, the reason I'm calling, is that I'm rather a little bit curious and I'm also a little bit confused as to what actually happened today, because I happened to be traveling downtown at a meeting downtown near Guy and Sherbrooke, and so I went into the bank on the West Island, found out about the mess, and so I turned on the radio as I was traveling downtown. And I happened to switch back and forth, and I'm not sure which interview I heard or which telephone call I heard, because I was switching back and forth from 940 to 800, but I heard two particular phone calls that are conflicting with the police report. Okay, first of all, I heard a guy talk from the 7th floor of Alexis Neon Plaza who said he was watching, he could see from his office building, he could see, I guess, the front door of Dawson. He saw the police drag out a suspect, okay, and he said he could tell by the way they were handling him, the guy wasn't, a student, he was a suspect. He saw them lay him on the ground. He apparently could tell, maybe he couldn't see clearly from the 7th floor, but he could see. He thought they were putting handcuffs on the guy as he was lying down, and then later He said he saw them put a sheet over him. Okay, so maybe he was alive and then he was dead. Meanwhile, okay, later I heard a student who happened to be one of the first hostages the guy grabbed. And he said that the atrium was cleared out and they were in a little alcove and there was about 10 or 11 people behind them. The shooter was right there. He was standing next to the guy. He was there with another girl. And the guy was kind of putting them as a shield. And then he said what happened was all of a sudden, he didn't necessarily say he heard the shot, but all of a sudden the guy had been shot in the knee. He dropped his gun.
And this is after the first guy was covered with a sheet already.
Well, I'm not sure now. The sequence of events might have been different, okay,
right.
Because the guy called in later to say what they're saying happened did not happen because I was there. And he said what happened. The guy dropped his gun. He said it was so big he didn't think it was hardly real. The guy fell to the ground, pulled a handgun out, put it under his chin, and blew his own head off.
Hmm.
Now, why? I'm curious and confused as to why the police are taking the credit for shooting this guy dead. When actually, what they might have done is shot the guy in the leg when students were standing right near him, and then he took his own life with his own handgun.
Which were actually the first reports from the scene before the press conferences. But if you were listening earlier tonight, a very eloquent young lady named Danielle, a student who was there, who passed one of these guys in the hall, and I say one of these guys because she says it can't be only one person because... To have shot these 20 people in the places where they were shot meant that this guy had to go from the atrium to another floor to yet another place all in the space of about 60 seconds.
Right. And then we had another report from a girl that thought she might have seen some guy near Peel and St. Catherine. There was a whole bunch of police cars around blocking Peel between St. Catherine and Sherbrooke.
Well, even Director DeLorme, Police Director DeLorme, hinted earlier today in his earlier press conference There were significant hints in his comments that the police may be searching for information on one other person.
Well, I just wondered whether, you know, whether...
And, of course, we heard Adam earlier tonight who said that his sister saw another person dressed the same way going down St. Catherine Street.
That's right. I heard that report, too. But like I say, it's very confusing for the police to be taking credit when one guy, at least by a bystander who was right there next to the guy, saw the guy pull out a gun and shoot himself and kill himself.
Well, Ross, things will unfold as they should in the next few days and weeks, particularly with the Sûreté investigation. We thank you for your call and your patience on the line.
No problem. Have a good evening.
Thank you. Montreal will be right back. Montreal, Beryl Wiseman, we're back with 940's continuing coverage of this tragic day of the shooting at Dawson College and its aftermath. We want to hear from you, parents, students, witnesses, or anybody else who wants to get something off their chest about this. Jeff, thanks for being patient.
Hey, no problem. Thanks for taking my call.
No sweat. The lines are burning up, so I thank you for hanging in.
All right. I just wanted to mention tonight that basically the police officer's role, whatever happened, the guy killed himself or he was shot, basically I think it takes a lot of bravery and courage to put yourself in the line of fire.
Oh, yeah.
I think that was mentioned during the press conference that they actually went in to take away the attention of the gunman from the students to themselves. So I think that in that act itself takes a lot of courage, a lot of bravery, so I think we should acknowledge them.
Absolutely.
And this
has been around the clock, and it's not just, you know, it's not just the guys on the ground. I was just talking to Commander Pat Gallant from Station 20 who's been on this. He's just now going home, and they're all there from the commanders on down.
I can imagine, definitely. But also what I want to, because I'm not a Dawson student, I'm a Vanier College student.
Mm-hmm.
But as, like, Dawson, Vanier, like a lot of students know each other from high school and whatnot.
Sure.
And basically, as a surrounding college, do you think, like John Abbott, Marianopolis, do you think colleges, apart from Dawson, should be worried about this type of thing?
Well, it's not a matter of what any of us think. Life carries within it the seeds of any of destruction and the seeds of triumph. And what we've seen tonight is that the students, the young people, your generation, understand that. And they understand that the way we get through it is we get through it together and we get through it with common courage, and that moves us ahead. And
right.
We don't give a thought. This is not a societal tendency. It happens.
Right.
A disturbed individual, it happens.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't require hosts of investigation. It requires compassion. It requires empathy. And it requires character. to go forward.
Good, good. All right, well said. Well, thanks for taking my call again.
Jeff, a pleasure.
Have a good evening.
You too.
Bye.
Hanny, thanks for waiting for the line, on the line so long.
You're very welcome. I just want to give my condolences to the family of the teenager that died today. God be with them. It's a very hard moment.
Yes, it is.
But they will have their, God will have his way to comfort them and make them go through this in an easier way that we as a human cannot think of it, but maybe there is ways to go through this. But I also want to, as a former Dalton College graduate from computer science, I would like to tell that this has nothing to do with Dalton as a college itself. It's just things that happened from the society that we live in right now. This is a result of all the, you know, the stress and the society that we live in. So some people go like that and become that sick to go and do these things.
Now, you know, it may not even have any cause. I mean, we remember these things going back to the 60s in Texas, and Charles Starkweather going up a tower at the University of Texas and shooting 14 girls.
Exactly. So we don't know what is the cause of it, but we know that it will happen, and it maybe has some reason for why it's happening, but we just hope that it doesn't happen that often, and, you know, that we pull through with this, and I give my hat to all the people that worked hard today from the police department, and my heart goes out to the family, especially the one that passed away.
Hanny, how many years ago did you graduate?
I graduated in 91.
Well, you know, all we can hope for is that people, no matter how disturbed or how alienated or how they may feel that they're put upon, will learn to love themselves a little more than they hate others. And when
well,
that happens, a lot of problems all over the world will be finished.
Yeah, we're missing a lot of love, and we're seeing a lot more and more of material stuff around us. People forget that there's much more stuff that's worth loving and caring for than just material and just things that are useless, you know?
And we've been hearing that over and over and over again tonight from young people, and it's the most inspiring thing to hear. Hanny, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Have
very
a peaceful
much.
Rest of the
God
evening.
God bless you. Bye-bye.
Thank you. We go now to Kevin. Kevin?
Hi there.
Good evening.
Hi there. I think that maybe, not that I'm going to say MTV's behind some of the influences, but if you see all these music videos, a lot of it is anarchy, kids stomping on guitars, and all these video games. I know it's...
Well, hell, you know, I mean, Elvis broke up guitars. It's not from yesterday.
No, but if you look at the internet now, you see videos on Google promoting girls fighting girls. Yes. You didn't see this... girls were not this violent even 10, 20 years ago in the day. I went to school in the 70s, and girls wouldn't fight like they are now.
Well, Kev, I got to tell you, in my high school, I graduated in 71, we had a special tactical unit of the Montreal Police called Jeunesse Police Mobile, because we had stabbings, we had a couple of gunfights. We couldn't have recess with the cops in the halls. They canceled our graduation. And that was 71, and that's what inner-city schools were. But, you know, you made your peace with it. Bad things happen, but, you know, you get around it. They don't always have root causes.
No,
of course, the particular incident does, and the particular perpetrator does. Kevin, can you hang on? We've got to pay a bill.
Please.
I'll be with you in 1 minute.
Thank you.
Thank you, Montreal. We'll be right back. Montreal Barrel Wiseman with you. We're concluding our... four of my shift, which normally finishes at 8. But there's no Last Angry Man tonight. Tonight it's about Montreal. Tonight it's about all of you. And tonight it's about the outrage at killings and the shootings at Dawson College. And it's a story of the people of Montreal. Kevin, thanks for holding.
Thank you. Well, Beryl, as I was saying, it's not just that it's the music videos and MTV is behind it all. If you look at the grunge movement, those kids that are walking around with these giant dogs, you know, soliciting for whatever, they're hungry or this or that, it's all part of the same music culture. the group, the Killers, if you look at their videos and all this stuff and this anarchy symbol you see symbolized in their videos, yeah, it's a thing that I think it started in Western Europe, and it's just gotten worse and worse here. I'm not out to say that the goths or the punks or this or that. It's not to pinpoint, but it's more, I think, the influence of the media and the music in general.
Okay, Kev, thanks for your comments. Jacob, good evening.
I want to raise a point that I don't think was ever brought up. I think that it's a good thing that the murderer was killed. Regardless of how it was done, whether he committed suicide or shot by the police, the fact is that had he not been killed, you can bet credits to Navy Beans that some libertarian judge would have let him out, would have sentenced him, of course, to 25 years, right? But the sentence automatically would have been reduced to 7, and had he been a good boy, he'd be out in 2 to 5 max. And the libertarian lunatics of the world would be after this guy saying, what a poor baby, what a victim, he must have been abused, he needs to be rehabilitated. He'd be out in the street and possibly committing another crime like this. So thank God he was killed.
Well, Jacob, I won't say thank God that anybody's killed, but this discussion...
No, but he was killed.
I understand, but this discussion of criminal justice is for another evening, and after 4 hours, I just thank you for your comments and wish you a good evening.
Thank you.
Okay. Montreal, this has been a remarkable day. First and foremost, our hearts go out to the parents whose children were injured and maimed and in one case killed. Little solace can be offered, save the sense that they are part of a human community, that their pain diminishes us all, and that in the words of the Greek poet Aeschylus, eventually, through pain which falls drop by drop upon the heart, we attain wisdom. And with that wisdom will come healing. But the most remarkable thing of the day has been the resilience, the eloquence, and the courage of the young people, of the students, of the generation that many people say is just about me, me, me. And we've heard caller after caller after caller talk about their understanding that it's about our common humanity, not about their particularity. They understand that to get through this life, we need to get through it together. We need to reach out our hands to our neighbors. And their inspiration tonight has been quite remarkable. The poet Alfred Tennyson had a magical line, "Come, my friends, 'tis not too late to seek a newer world." With the quality of the young people that we've heard tonight, that dream and that flame and that spirit in this city lives on, and we will overcome. I want to say thank you to the staff at 940. It's been a remarkable day for the station. In its news talk format, they've gone across the country. They've been heard in every station. It's been a tremendous effort all around from Chris Burry, the program director, the new staff, Sean McMahon, Sabrina Mirandola, Lauren Schwartz, Luciana Papia, Jim Duff earlier today, producers Margot Edwards, Melissa Wheeler, Chris Bunbury, Nick Mays, and Master Control. It has been an incredible day for 940, perhaps a defining moment for the station, as it's been heard on networks in America and across the country. Out of tragedy and trauma comes the triumph of the human spirit in all its forms. And that is what we as Montrealers have witnessed today. Thank you, and good night till tomorrow.